from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning. It's April 23rd. Another week in paradise. Monday here, live OneRadioNetwork.com. We're live every morning, 9 to 11 or so, in that neighborhood, depending. That's the general structure, 2 hours, but sometimes we go longer. I have a very interesting guest for you this morning, Dr. Nancy Turner Banks, and we are going to get into some areas about money and pharmaceuticals and AIDS and cancer and cause and effect stuff that I think you're going to find fascinating, and you'll meet her in just a second. After I tell you about tomorrow, Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who's in Panama. She's kind of chased out of New York. Well, it's not really chased. She just got tired of, the military-industrial complex, and she is in Panama. She's on the last Tuesday of every month, and she'll be here tomorrow, which tomorrow is what that is, the last Tuesday. Wednesday, our weekly sojourn into the real world of money with currency historian Andrew Goss. Thursday, Dr. Richard Massey and Meridian Grace. They're here on the last Thursday. So generally this last week, we have a couple of our regulars and a special guest on Monday like we have today. If you'd like to join the show, it is 888-663-6386. That's 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. During the show, we always promote a few products, and that's how we make our living here. We don't charge anybody. Shows, podcasts, we have over 2,500 podcasts. This particular show has been going on about 10 years, and so we appreciate your ongoing support. People donate and also buy the products that we promote, and it seems to work, which is kind of cool. Nancy Turner Banks is in Guadalajara, Mexico. Dr. Banks, graduate of Harvard Medical School, medical student. She was awarded scholarships at the American College of Surgeons to study tropical medicine in Nigeria. She did her residency in general surgery, OBGYN, St. Luke's, Mount Sinai. She was a Galloway Fellow in Gynecological Oncology at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, master's degree in finance from Pace University. So she's got the background with the money and also then being a physician. She did OBGYN up in New York for a few years, 5 years or so. Has some tales to tell about her pharmaceutical company experience. In 2010, she wrote a book about AIDS, opium, and diamonds, and empire, diamonds and empire. And then a couple of years ago, wrote a book about HIV cancer, the slow death of the AIDS cancer paradigm. Wow. A lot of stuff here. So we have a lot to talk about. So let's welcome Dr. Banks, Nancy Turner Banks. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, just one correction. I was in practice for about 25 years, not five.
Oh, no. Oh, I said the 5 year. Oh, 5 years at the OBGYN in New York. Did I say five? Oh, I missed it too. Wow.
Yeah, what would make me much younger. It would be wonderful, but
that's right. We don't believe in aging around here anyway, Dr. Banks. You know,
yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. So Guadalajara, that's a beautiful little city in Mexico. Why'd you find your way down there?
Well, actually, Guadalajara is almost 6 million people.
It's is it really?
City.
Well, see, shows you what I know.
Yeah, and it's a sophisticated. It's actually, the second, I think, maybe Monterrey, but after Mexico City, it's the second largest city in Mexico. Mexico City, of course, being one of the largest cities on the planet. And I came down to just see whether or not it would be a good place to retire. And I came down with a group called Focus on Mexico. They're Canadian people. And they talk to you about how you can, how you can become an expat and all the pitfalls you have to go through. And they have people who can help you with that easily. And so the transition from moving to from the United States down here was pretty easy. Plus the Mexican people are lovely people. Yeah. So I enjoy living here.
You do. Uh-huh. Of course, the only thing we hear about Mexico, here in this country, is the drug cartels and all the people coming over illegally. That's the only thing we get here.
Well, I understand that. Americans, I think there was one of the heads of the CIA that said that once we will know whether we've been successful when everything Americans believe is false. And
well, I like that. I don't like it, but it's probably true, isn't it?
And I just recently got, my sister lives in California. I just got back from California. And it's amazing to me to watch American television. It's amazing and sad. But the sad truth is that the United States, people have to remember from history, has been living with something called the Monroe Doctrine. They've never stopped it. And so basically, the Monroe Doctrine says this continent, North and South America, is going to be dominated by the United States. And there's hardly any major thing that happens in this part of the world that the United States doesn't have some influence on. And certainly the drug cartels are part of that. So people probably do remember that both the Bush administration and the Obama administration were sending guns down here to the cartels. And it was increasing the deaths in certain parts of the country. But the other problem is that the United States is the biggest user of drugs.
Yes. So it was through Bush, Bush, Obama, CIA, and supporting the cartels to keep the flow?
Well, this is what I think Americans need to understand. The narcotics business is an international business that involves the highest levels of the world. It involves the banks, it involves the global elite. They've been involved in this business since the British East India Company, and the Americans who were involved in it, some of the oldest families in the United States, were involved in it. And it's a lucrative business, and it supports the banking system internationally, and it also supports the covert operations that are allowed to operate outside of the legal system of the United States, so that organizations like the CIA or MI6 can basically do things extra legally.
Off the books, so to speak.
Off the books. And for example, the United States is still in Afghanistan, and every year the opium crops are getting larger and larger. And right now the United States has a horrendous opioid epidemic that's affecting all communities. And I'm originally from Ohio, and it's particularly hit hard in the Midwest, where a lot of the jobs have been shipped off here to Mexico or to the Southeast Asia.
Uh-huh. So the Iran-Contra thing would be just one of these maybe operations, Dr. Banks, that just got uncovered?
Yeah. So the Iran-Contra operation, and this is the unfortunate thing. It's interesting that you mention Iran-Contra, because the Americans, and that was still, I think, during the Cold War. Yes. So, you know, people were using now it's terrorism, then it was communism. And basically what these kinds of things do is anytime there is any group of people in Latin America who want to improve their situations or who want land reforms, they're called some kind of name, and the United States will come in with training forces in order to fight this group of people who want to better their lives. And that was part of the Iran-Contra deal, which was shipping arms to Iran and was also suppressing a group of people in Nicaragua. And what happened in the United States when it was uncovered, nothing happened to any of the people who were involved. And what was the colonel?
Oliver North.
Oliver North, he became a hero. I mean, he came into Congress wearing his medals, looking like the ultimate soldier. And instead of going to jail for this illegal activity, he got a television program. And so that's how it goes.
It's amazing. I give him a TV show. Dr. Nancy Turner Banks is with us. If you'd like to question or comment, Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. So, the Afghanistan thing, I mean, we've heard over the years that it's about the opium, but I mean, I'm sure it's more than that. I mean, it's a strategic place and all that. I mean, what do you suppose Russia was in Afghanistan for all those years before they gave up on it? What were they? Well, was it the opium for them too?
Well, I think we should, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski has written it before he passed away, was part of the elite intellectual class. And he wrote extensively about that part of the world, because if you control that part, it's like the Silk Road.
Yeah.
That part of the people have been fighting over that part of the world for centuries, because it controls resources, it controls access to large populations. And Afghanistan not only has opium, but I understand it has access to oil pipelines that want to go through there, but it also has mineral-rich resources that are needed and wanted by the globalists. So I think Afghanistan is strategically located, and unfortunately, those people have been suffering under this fighting among Western elites for a long time.
Yes, people say rare earth minerals are there and such things like that. And maybe the opium is just cherry on the sundae or something, you know.
Yeah, so it's strategically, you know, I think one of the things they're not teaching in school anymore is geography. But geography is crucial in terms of trying to understand some of the nonsense which is going on in the world right now, and why people are, you know, why there's so-called terrorism in certain areas and why things are happening in other areas. Because many of these places either have strategic assets or are strategically located for whatever this global class of criminals want to do in terms of, making their power more stable.
Yeah. Our sources tell us that that's pretty much what Syria is about, these competing gas pipelines, as you mentioned, with Russia and the EU, and may very well be true.
Yeah, but at some point Americans have to get tired of sending our kids over to fight wars that aren't benefiting us at all.
Yeah.
As the nation economically decline, the global elite are getting richer, and our kids are sort of like a mercenary army paying for this nonsense. And I think it's time for people to really begin to think a little bit differently. But watching American television, I see it's going to be real difficult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As you know, I guess it's been going on for quite a long time with the whole Banana Republic, was it? United Fruit Company, and down there and doing what they do and protecting national interests.
I think people forget that American corporations are international. The people who run the corporation are internationalists. They're not wedded to the idea of being loyal Americans, nor loyal to the American people. They're globalist, and they think of themselves in that way. And they own a lot of property. They still own a lot of plantations. They own a lot of property all over Latin America. And they also do a lot of business with because Latin America, almost every country in Latin America, has been sustained by a small number of families who pretty much run each of these countries. And as long as these families are doing going along with what the American bankers want, they pretty much have free rein to do whatever they want in their countries. And in that way, the countries, the majority of the people stay very poor. And so this is one of the reasons there are so many people going north into the United States. But I also want to say this to the American people. You have a Department of Homeland Security, and you have a State Department that's supposed to be responsible for visas and Homeland Security, which is supposed to be responsible for the borders. So why aren't people, you know, standing out in front of those two departments asking them why aren't they doing their jobs if you're so worried about all these immigrants coming into the country? Because you're paying good tax dollars to have these government agencies function, and they're not functioning.
We're talking with Dr. Nancy Banks, and she has a couple of books we're going to be talking about and getting her global perspective on health, money, and all is tied in together, she says, and it sounds like it. And if you'd like to join this show, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I wonder how much she's probably got some theories on the genetically modified stuff, and so do we. Previously with Stephanie Seneff, PhD, research scientist with MIT on her work with glyphosates, GMO, and sulfur.
I know you really care about sulfur, and so do I. You know, I really think sulfur is crucial for health, and that we have a massive problem with sulfur deficiency in this country. One of the proteins that I found that is disrupted by glyphosate, because it has an essential glycine, is sulfotransferase. That's a protein that moves sulfate from one molecule to another. But it's really, really important to be able to do that.
And why wouldn't it be able to do it? Because the glyphosate disrupts the natural sulfur cycle in our body?
The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. And, of course, glyphosate chelates sulfurs.
A perfect storm in the challenges department, perhaps, but we're getting creative. So we know that we've been low on sulfur for years because of the chemical fertilizers, and now the GMO thing, which is disrupting the sulfur cycle. And we know with sufficient amounts of sulfur in the body, it's the natural way that the body gets these heavy metals, for example, mercury and mercury sulfate, out of the body, if we have enough sulfur. Click and order sulfur today on oneradionetwork.com. We've been promoting this product for a long time, 4 years or so. People love it. They discontinue to order over and over and over again. They really like it. So that's pretty cool. And I think you will too. I think you'll find that you'll get some, just a better experience with your clarity. Clarity. It brings oxygen to all the cells in the body. And it certainly helps to detox heavy metals as well. And sulfur does a great job. If you want to get more than 4 pounds, just email me, Patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll give you a discount.
Daniel Vitalis, the colostrum we offer is from moo cows. Why is it good for people?
There's a sort of wonder of nature in that there's this relationship between cows and people where cows' colostrum is actually extremely bioactive in human beings. We've known that for 8,000 years. And there are over 4,000 medical studies confirming that when human beings consume cow colostrum, a similar thing happens in their body, starts to format their immune system. It seems to be due to substances that are found in colostrum that are called immune factors, and also this really amazing substance called transfer factor, which somehow transfers the immunity over from the cow to human beings. But the important thing to remember is that we're living in an era where there's more people alive today with dysfunctional immune systems than ever before. And colostrum gives us the ability to actually restructure, rebuild, and reformat our immune systems so we can really thrive in our modern world today.
Thriving, yes, indeed. We like that. The colostrum is now in the 1 and 2 kilo bags as well, or you can get capsules or a smaller size. Just click an order right on the front page, any Survival link on OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to pick up something that's so soothing for the for your gut, your stomach, small, large intestine, pure aloe vera is one of the most magical things on the planet. We have a great source. There's a fellow down in Florida. You've heard of him, Dr. Michael Haley. And they do the fresh frozen aloe. There's no preservatives. They just take out the filet and then they freeze it. And then they send it to you in a styrofoam thing, 2 half gallons at a time. And if you order from the ad right there on the front page, you'll see a nice place to just... Get yourself 2 1-half gallons right there in the top, and you also get some face cream too. So it's a nice product, and try some, and you just defrost it as much as you need, and then keep it frozen, and then just keep doing that. It's pretty cool. It's a great process the way they have it. Stockton Aloe 1 on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, we're talking with Dr. Nancy Turner-Banks, OneRadioNetwork.com. She has a couple of books, AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, and The Slow Death of the AIDS Cancer Paradigm, and we're going to dig into the AIDS cancer thing, and I think you're going to find that really totally interesting. You talk a bit about on your website during the years when you were 25 years OBGYN up in New York, and your experience with the drug companies, and what got you thinking a different way about medicine.
Well, I think what happens in medical school. And I wrote about this in my first book, was taken over essentially by the Rockefeller and the titans of industry, who really wanted to put controls on the American people. I think one of the things we should remember is that medicine is a way of controlling people, and when people are sick, you can continue to sell them drugs because you don't want to cure them. You just continue to treat their symptoms. Hmm. Now, Benjamin Rush, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedom. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And so 100 years ago, when the Rockefellers took over medicine, it became restricted to one particular paradigm, and that is called allopathic medicine. Most people don't know that there are many, many types of medicine. There is homeopathic medicine, there is naturopathic medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and most indigenous cultures have a great knowledge of the plants and herbs in their areas, which have healing properties. And so much of this knowledge is being lost to us because we are almost by law restricted to this type of medicine. And it was beginning to frustrate me. And so I began to look at my discipline, and I began to look at molecular biology, which is the foundational technology. It's not a science. It's a technology upon which this medicine is founded. And one of the things I wrote about, especially in my second book, is this. Molecular biology is always going to be a failure. And why is that? Because what we're looking at is the cell the cells of the human body are called eukaryotic cells. And the reason they're called eukaryotic cells is because the nucleus is defined by a membrane as opposed to prokaryotic cells, which the genetic material is not defined by a membrane. It's not bound. And so these cells are very important in that they that 99% of the molecules in those cells are water. Only 1% of the molecules inside of our cells are the DNA, the carbohydrates, the proteins, things that molecular biology studies. So how can you even call it a science when you're only studying 1% of what you have inside of your cell? And you're discounting the 99%. And so what is the significance of that? The significance is that our cells are totally electromagnetically controlled as an entity, that they are not communicating and they're not doing the functions that they do, which are enormously rapid, sometimes millions or billions of molecules are doing a particular function in an enzyme in a minute or a second. And so at speeds of this magnitude, you have to talk about vibratory energy and electromagnetic energy. So the question is, I just heard one of your commercials for sulfur. And so one of the things I had to look at in terms of what is the problem with a lot of the chronic diseases. And a lot of the chronic diseases that we're facing, whether it's AIDS or cancer, whether it's autism, they're diseases that are have to do with either too many toxins or too few nutrients. And 95% of all of our diseases are either too few nutrients or too many toxins or a combination of both. Huh. But the underlying issue is always an energetic issue. I just heard your commercial for sulfur. And one of the things that I found in almost all of these chronic diseases is that there is a deficit in also in the tripeptide glutathione, which has a sulfur moiety, which means that almost all of these chronic diseases have a deficit of sulfur. Why is that important? Because sulfur is really important in terms of reducing the negative effects of oxygen damage.
And isn't it curious that this, as Stephanie Seneff talks about, she's been on the show several times, the connection with the genetically modified foods and the sulfur pathway, the shikimate pathway and the whole disrupting the sulfur cycle.
Right. And so this is what I think. I think that someone somewhere understands these things and are using it to manipulate our health and are using it to suppress this information in order for people to be chronically ill, because this sounds really evil, but I think it is evil. I'm going to give a lecture in Chicago next month at Autism One conference, and I'm going to be talking about the war on our children, because the giving poisons from the minute a child is born and to the time they're going to school, they're getting over 56 vaccinations. All of these vaccines are filled with toxins. All of these vaccines are filled with nanoparticles of toxic substances. And so what we're doing is we're actually destroying the energetic systems which impact the immune system. So first you have to understand the energetic system. The energetic system, if you don't have enough energy to drive the cell will become immunologically imbalanced. And the other thing that we see in almost all these people, for example, the immune system has, let's say for simplicity, two major pathways. It has a pathway that makes antibodies, which kill extracellular, attacks extracellular pathogens or abnormalities that are entering the body. And then it has what is called a cell-mediated immunity, which is able to attack things that come inside of the cell. And so what happens that we're seeing also, and it's almost universal in these chronic diseases, we're seeing that the cellular immune system is suppressed and the antibody immune system is overactive. And so you have an imbalance in the immune system, and that imbalance in the immune system, for example, what we're seeing in the children are all of these allergic reactions that they're having and allergies that develop and all of the infections that they're getting because they're not able to fight them with a balanced immune system. We're saying the same thing in cancer patients and the same thing in AIDS patients, the same things in diabetics, on and on and on. And so there are patterns. Once you understand the energetics of the cell and then the immune part of the cell, you can begin to address all of those things. But if you're not going to understand that the cell is 99% water, and that water is like a gel, it has a pattern, it's part of the electromagnetic system, you're not ever going to get deeper down into the cell to understand how the whole thing works. The other important thing about the eukaryotic cell
Can we stay there 1 second on the cell, and then we'll get back to the eukaryotic cell? So this is fascinating. 99% of the molecules, you say, are water. 1% of the DNA, the proteins, and stuff like that. When you said that allopathic medicine only studies the 1%, talk a little bit about that before we move on.
Well, molecular biology was chosen as the basic science that was going to make medicine a scientific discipline.
Right.
And that was chosen by the Rockefeller people 100 years ago. And so only those scientists who would go along with studying molecular biology were chosen to become heads of departments, and only those universities in those departments which would accept this as the paradigm would get money. That's why the medical schools are teaching the things that they teach today, because they've been restricted by the control of finance. Here we go with the finance again, to the teaching of a particular discipline which was essentially designed as a eugenics discipline. It was designed as a method of control. And Lily Kay has written an excellent book on this. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but her name is Lily Kay. And she's written a book that talks about how the originators of molecular biology, who wanted this particular discipline, were part of the eugenics movement. And they were looking for a way to, quote, make the population better. They were going to weed out the bad seeds.
Really?
So, yeah. So molecular
I've heard the
biology,
eugenics thing, but it's not necessarily killing people, but it's a whole Nazi kind of a genre thing of making a super race and all that.
But it's not just that. It's also getting rid of the people that you think are look. This was a discipline that was started in the United States. It was a discipline capitalist who in the early part of the 20th century
industrialists, maybe, you know,
the industrialists, yeah, who were
JP
making
Gettys,
who had
J,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, Rockefeller, mm-hmm, Carnegie, that group of people,
right. They
decided that there were certain people that were unwanted, the great unwashed, and they talked about it very openly. I mean, and it was part of the United States culture until well into the 70s. They were, for example, in places as diverse as Oklahoma or in some of the southern states, they were actually snipping, taking people's, the women, they were giving them hysterectomies, and they were making them infertile because they said they were not fit to have children. So they were not only sterilizing women, they were sterilizing men as well.
Wow, yeah.
And that was part of the United States. As a matter of fact, Hitler took his issues from the United States, and he ran with it.
So this molecular biology, Dr. Banks, is a It's a system that was put in place that only the people that agreed with it were could play AMA and all that. And it's just not right. I mean, you're just going down the wrong path. It's just not accurate. Use your words.
For example, you know, they're really pushing this genetics thing.
Sure.
And this is what I was coming to, because first of all, they were trying to prove that it's your genes that determine whether or not you're going to be the best kind of person,
right,
which they consider the best kind of person. And so that was what it was started for, because they had this idea that if you were in a lower class, if you were a criminal, what they called a criminal, because what they did, they never criminalized. But if you were the type of criminal that they thought was a criminal, then it was probably because of your genes. And not because of the fact that you had any kind of environmental cues that might have contributed to it. And part of this is an excuse for the great poverty that is created by the economic system. So, and this is for hundreds of years, especially, I think a lot of Americans don't know, or Europeans, the British Empire was one of the harshest things that ever happened to the people of the world. It was harsh in Africa, it was harsh in India, it was harsh in China. Wherever the British went, there was a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they did. When they came to this continent, there was a genocide here. And so in order to make this right, that you had to have some sort of scientific reasoning behind it. You had to say, well, you could justify this genocide because these people weren't really worth saving. And that was what eugenics was about.
That's how they live with themselves.
Yeah, and so we fast forward to the GMOs or the mm-hmm. genetics of today.
Yeah.
Well, already in about 2000, the genetic theory of the cell was proven wrong. Why was it proven wrong? It was proven wrong because they said that for every protein there would be a gene, and they also said that the gene controls the cell, and the information in the cell goes from the gene goes from the DNA to the RNA to the protein, and that there's no crosstalk. But what they discovered in 2000, that's not true, that the cell is a communication system. Of course it is, because it's an electromagnetic system. So the cell, the cytoplasm of the cell also controls the genome. It tells the genes which genes need to be expressed to make which proteins which are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a back and forth crosstalk. So that was wrong. The other thing that we found out is that, for example, humans don't have any more genes than a field mouse or certain types of grass. So the number of genes that you have doesn't have anything to do with the complexity of your organism. So what did? So you had to look at not just the DNA, you had to look at RNA. I don't want to get too complex into this because mm-hmm. the science is interesting, but it's not, we don't need to go into it too deeply.
Fair enough.
But there are two types of genetic material, DNA and RNA. And so RNA is very important, and that humans, as the most complex organisms on the planet, have the most RNA. This RNA becomes very important in terms of how we function. But this is also crucial, which the geneticists don't seem to understand. The eukaryotic cell is a combination of two cells. Several billion years ago, two types of cell got together because the Earth's atmosphere was changing. The original Earth's atmosphere had almost no oxygen. But the oxygen became a waste product for these organisms, and as the Earth's oxygen atmosphere filled up with oxygen. Oxygen is very toxic because it has two unpaired electrons in its outer orbit. And so once the oxygen became more abundant, there became a different kind of organism. It was called a facultative anaerobe. And so these two kinds of organisms got together, they had a marriage, they combined, and they became eventually the eukaryotic cell. So that means the genome of the eukaryotic cell is actually two genomes. One responds to the atmosphere of the early Earth, and the other one responds to the atmosphere of the later Earth. And so they respond to different electromagnetic signals. And so that is why, for example, when you get cancer or you get some sort of degenerative disease, the cells revert to the older form of energy production because, again, the energy of the early Earth used a different kind of energy system than the energy of the later Earth that was more oxidized. So if you understand the history of the Earth, if you understand the energetics of the cell, if you understand the history of the cell, then you can understand how these disease processes work, and you can understand why things like sulfur can begin to reverse a lot of these symptoms.
Fascinating. So when this changeover happened, was this like a slow evolutionary kind of change thing in humans?
Maybe this is when
humans changed or something?
No, we're talking about billions of years.
Billions.
Remember, you know, because we're talking about evolutionary time, because, you know, the first organisms on the Earth were single-celled organisms, but the single-celled organisms were never able, and they still can't, they never were able to make enough energy in order to become more complex. Once these two cells combined, they were able to make more energy. And as a result of being able to make more energy, then we began to see the beginning of complex organisms. So all of these complex organisms, including, you know, the fish, the mammals, the trees, and humans, came out of this ability to be able to use energy in a more efficient fashion, and the importance of the water and oxygen molecules.
Mm-hmm. So knowing what you know, boy, we have a lot to talk about this morning. Knowing what you know, so this idea of detoxification, cleansing, and just getting as many good nutrients in through organic foods makes sense?
It makes absolute sense. I mean, one of the things that I started reading, this is a lovely, you know, there are two scientists, very important to why we're so behind right now, Pasteur and Bechamp. They're two French scientists from over 100 years ago. Everybody knows about Pasteur. Very few people know about Bechamp. But this is an interesting argument in medicine, and it's still the argument that we're having today, and that is that the issue is, do organisms cause infection, or is the body debilitated in some way that allow organisms to take hold?
In other words, the idea that do they come from the outside, or are they all just kind of glopped in with us anyway?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so the issue is how do we keep our, if we're looking at Pasteur, we are saying, well, there's nothing we can do and these things are just going to harm us. But we know that's not true, because if that were true, then everybody who was exposed to some sort of bacteria or toxin would simply, you know, get, like everybody who's exposed to measles would get measles. But we know that's not true. Or we know that everybody who got measles, like in some poor areas that are deficient in vitamin A, might die from the measles. We know when kids in the United States get measles, it's a very mild disease. So the issue is, which we are not really looking at, and allopathic medicine does not even raise this issue, and this is what naturopaths and other people have been trying to do is to raise the issue of what is health? How do you maintain health and what does it look like? And how do you keep a healthy body? How do you keep your body from healthy enough to resist these pathogens from taking hold, or to resist these diseases from taking hold? And that's the whole argument that I think people who are looking for natural ways of healing and the allopathic medicine, you know, are at loggerheads, because these are two different basic ideas about health.
Mm-hmm. The idea of the microbiome and the mouth, we've talked about, and the gut being a interplay of all of these things kind of getting along rather than going in and trying to kill stuff.
Yeah, and this is the other thing. If you understand the energetics of the cell, and you understand electromagnetic communication, it's very subtle. You know, people talk about subtle energies. And if you look at Western medicine, and I'm not discounting Western medicine because it works in many cases, and it certainly has some usefulness. So I'm not here just bashing Western medicine because it's sometimes needed, but it's not the only answer. And that's the point that we have to make. It's just one type of discipline which has a particular place. But this is the important thing. It's like the difference between giving a homeopathic remedy, which is a gentle kind of solution which works with the energetic system in a very subtle way, or like hitting the system with an atomic bomb, which is a Western drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're driving the system very aggressively, or you're gently using, you know, teasing the system to get back into its homeostatic alignment.
I like that, teasing the system. Dr. Banks is with us, Nancy Banks. So I'm going to do a little break here, but when we get back, we like to say, if you would talk to us like we're a young child and golden retriever, and explain to us with what you understand of how these cells get formed into a thing called cancer. Can you do that for us?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do this after. Previously, we were talking with Brandon about the Blue Shield EMF device, and he says it goes out 90 yards in all directions.
It's an omnidirectional field that, if you think about a huge sphere that's expanding, that's essentially what the waveform pattern looks like.
Oh, that's cool. So it's putting frequencies into the body. And then how does that work in relation to electromagnetic field that's coming in the walls and the windows through a cell phone tower down the street?
Yeah, so the cell repeaters and Wi-Fi and all this electromagnetic radiation in the environment, people mistakenly think that this is somehow going to act like a shield and block the radiation and make it not appear on any kind of tri-field meter or any measuring device. And that's simply not the case. It's more of an energy medicine, so to speak, where it's stimulating the bodies at the cellular level to create a cellular response to make all the individual cells much stronger and more able to adapt to the EMF stressors. So that's number one on the physical or the somatic level, where the body is experiencing a decrease in stress from electromagnetic fields.
If you're interested, you can click on the Blue Shield ad on the front page of One Radio Network. Use promo code One Radio, or also contact Brandon through his website there when you click, and he'll give you more information. Front page, Blue Shield EMF protection device on OneRadioNetwork.com. We've had folks on the show over the years, Dr. Hal Huggins, the great Mercury fellow that we were good friends with, and who's on his cosmic vacation now, but he would talk about how he believed that Mercury and other heavy metals that would get deep into the bones for a lot of different reasons, get stored in there, that if you get the toxins out of the fat and the more fleshy parts and the parts that come out when you do a sauna, then as that clears out, then the body has the ability then to draw it back out of the bones. I don't know if that's true or not. It sure sounds good to me, and I like to think that, because one of the reasons why I do saunas every day of my life, and we have a sauna that's we think, one of the best one in the world for the price. It's a far infrared sauna. It's made in Taiwan, a medical university. Very low EMFs, just magnetic energy between the floor and the bottom of the chair. And it's a personal sauna. Your head sticks out. You can stick it in a corner. And so it gets very hot. And also you get the far infrared rays that bounce all around on this kind of space age silver material that has actually colloidal silver, not nano, colloidal silver all over. So it's pretty cool. And we've been selling them for about 10 years and people love them. The retail is $1,195 delivered, contiguous United States. But we have a special deal that we can get it to you for $9.95, but it's not in print because then Google picks it up and it screws up the price. So you just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll get you a sauna in the 48 for $9.95. Alaska, Hawaii, Canada, generally only it's about $100 extra or so. And then we ship them to Europe, all over the world, and they're generally really about maybe $200 or so, or $225 extra delivered, top of the $9.95, and that comes with the plug that you want, right? That's a special plug in Australia. We've shipped them all over the world. So these are very, very nice units, just detoxification ongoing. You can do it every day and just have plenty of water and electrolytes, and I think you just keep doing it. That's what I think anyway, but what do I know? Nobody listens to me. It is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I've known Andrew Goss for about 25 years. I saw him on a TV show on public television when I was doing visiting on a business trip in New York in the early 90s, and he was sitting there on TV explaining how the Federal Reserve wasn't federal and it was owned by private banks, and why didn't the government, just Treasury, just print their own dollars rather than borrow it. Sat on the bed, I was shaving, I go, what? And so that started my I found him, and that started my relationship with Andrew Goss, because I just knew he was onto something. Isn't that interesting, these moments in your life? What? Is that possible? So we've been good friends and have done radio shows ever since. He's on every Wednesday on OneRadioNetwork.com. And the way he has taught us, we understand the monetary system and fiat currencies and the central banks and the IMF and the World Bank and how this whole monopoly thing is playing out, that we believe that gold and silver, real American money, the only thing that is real money in the Constitution, Article 10, Section, whatever it is, Article 8, Section, whatever. But he buys and sells gold coins for a living. And we like numismatics even over gold bricks and bars, because they're much more flexible to sell, easier to sell. They're not something that you want to buy and then hope to make a profit and sell it in a couple years. These are more longer-term investments, numismatic, just real American money. He doesn't do Krugerrands or anything like that. So he's the guy to go to. It's SDL Incorporated. His number is 800-468-2646. But I know him. Trust him as I do my brother, so he's not going to sell you anything you don't want. Believe me, his company is really cool. 800-468-2646.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
I never walk near the edge. Used to fear falling. Never swam far from shore, never tried the secret door, but when you give me love, when you give me love, I have no fear of heights.
Oh, that's nice. It's April 23rd, 2018. I think love just extinguishes fear, doesn't it? Just poof, it's gone. Dr. Nancy Turner Banks, author of AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, and the Slow Death of the AIDS and Cancer Paradigm, Harvard Medical School, MBA in Finance, She studied tropical medicine, OBGYN there in St. Luke's in Mount Sinai, 25 years OBGYN up in New York. And now she's retired. She's living in Mexico, living the dream, eating guacamole a lot, and that's good. A lot of guacamole. They have good guacamole in Guadalajara, I bet, too.
You got to make your own. Everything, people make their own here.
Really? There's a lot
it's
of
delicious.
Farmers markets. You have access to good food?
Oh, incredible.
Really? Really?
We call Tianguis, and they're roving markets. So the produce here is unbelievably good.
Really? They understand the whole organic thing?
That they're a little slow on that.
A little slow on the draw on that one, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we like to sometimes ask our guests to talk to us like we're a young child or a golden retriever, because it helps. And give us your best explanation of how cells turned rogue, or cancer cells.
Well, the cells are not turning rogue. Cells are just doing what they're supposed to do if they don't have enough energy. And so if you understand, again, if you understand that life has to do with energy, mm-hmm. Life came into existence because of its ability to take the energy from the sun and turn it into something that was organized. Uh-huh. And so the cell is very organized because of this high level of energy production. And again, if you have too many toxins or too few nutrients, you're going to be able, your cell at the cellular level, you're going to be able to make less and less energy. And so remember that I said that the early part of the Earth history used one type of energy, and they were able to use something called glycolysis to make a molecule called ATP. Mm-hmm. But as we got oxygen in the atmosphere, the cells were able to use something called oxidative phosphorylation in an organelle called the mitochondria, and so they were able to make a lot more ATP. And so when you're not able to have the nutrients that you need to support the oxidative phosphorylation system, the cell begins to revert back to the ancient system, which cannot support the great organization of the cell. And so it reverts back to these early looking cells. That's why they say, you know, cancer cells look like stem cells, because they're the earliest form of the cell. Mm. And so it's an energy. So, and also, you know, you begin to see things like yeast and all those kinds of things growing. It's not because the yeast is causing the cancer. It's because the cancer does not have enough energy to support the organization of the eukaryotic cell. So the issue always is energy.
Energy.
If once you understand the dynamics of the energy, and once you understand the molecules or the substances that contribute to the energetic dynamics of the cell, then you can begin to replace those things that you need in order to reverse those processes. And that's why most cancers can be reversed, because once you understand that it's an energetic problem, you understand the nutrients that are deficient, and then you begin to replace those nutrients. Mm-hmm. And do the detoxification, because it's always a combination of those two things.
So then, can we conjecture then with the whole emotional, spiritual thing of worry, angst, fear, whatever, that depletes the cells of energy?
Yes, because people have to remember that your cell doesn't care whether it's a toxin or an electromagnetic, mm-hmm. or a psychological stressor. It's going to read that energy the same way, and it's going to respond the same way. So, you know, we try to, you know, this area, this issue of dividing all of these things into separate things. At the cellular, the cell can't tell whether that particular item is coming from your mind or is coming from some mm-hmm. sort of extraneous factor. Mm-hmm. It just reads it as something that is electromagnetic, which is taking energy from it. And so, for example, we know that the many of us are living under a lot of stress today, and that's the fight or flight syndrome. Hmm. And so we're making a lot of steroids, which can suppress the immune system and also alter our energy system. And so that's a psychological process that we can learn to overcome by things like meditation and breathing. And
so all these things like the cortisol and all that stuff we talk about is on the physiological level. But essentially, it's still at the cellular level. These things are kind of telling the cells, you know, you don't have enough juice, you don't have enough chi or spirit.
Because remember, all of these, every molecule has a vibratory frequency. So the molecules are reading vibratory frequencies.
They're reading, so they're always talking with each other.
They're always talking with each other through these electromagnetic frequencies.
Wow. And then if a bunch of them kind of get low on energy, do they kind of come together a little bit and cause the other ones to act the same way? And is that how tumors are formed?
No, tumors are formed. Remember, all you need is one cell to start a particular problem. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that the energy from that cell can reproduce itself, because one of the things that these low energy cells can do is they can replicate, and they can replicate with a low energy, and they can replicate themselves, as long as you are not giving the cell the things that it needs, the nutrients that it needs, or detoxifying out the things that it needs to get rid of. Mm-hmm. These cells will continue to replicate because the messages are there. We don't have enough energy to survive, and we're going into survival mode. And so that's what cancer is. It's an effort of the cells in your body to survive under these horrible conditions.
Well, if they're low on energy, why would they make another one that's also low on energy? Just because to survive, like the organism to survive?
They're replicating themselves. They're replicating themselves because if you're low on energy, because remember, the early bacteria could survive in a low energy system. The early Earth was a low energy system. And we had organisms that lived in that low energy system, and they were able to replicate, but they weren't able to do higher energy functions.
A couple billion years ago, this all kind of changed when the oxygen increased on planet.
That's right. But the cells are still responding to those same cues. So the cells are replicating because they're in a low energy environment.
So knowing what you know at a deep level, Dr. Banks, what do you do in your life to stay healthy?
One of the things that I've learned to do is not practice allopathic medicine.
Yeah, well, good for you.
I think the most important thing to do is to follow your spirit, to follow your heart. Mm-hmm. If you are stuck in any kind of relationship, whether it's a job, a personal relationship, a place, anything that is not healthy to you spiritually, psychologically, then that's going to be damaging to your health. And I think one of the things that happened to me is that because I was doing allopathic medicine, it was damaging my health, and I had some serious health crisis. And one of them was cancer, and I was able to reverse my cancer because I had to learn these things the hard way.
So when we're doing things that on a deep level we just know are not working for us, it must be very hard on the body.
It's devastating to the body, and I think that's why there are so many chronic diseases. Our environment is filled with all kinds of terrible things. You know, I'm sure maybe on your program you've been talking about this 5G and this electromagnetic thing that's coming along.
You've
been talking about GMOs, you've been talking about vaccines. So there's an onslaught of poisons being thrown at us, and this is the eugenics agenda. And then what's coming in the future, which is here now, is this transhumanism. humanism, because they don't need as many people as they did in the past. Because if you have robots that can do a lot of the work that humans do, you don't need as many humans. And so what you do is you institute a soft kill that people don't really recognize it as genocide.
Paul, I'm sure glad I'm just visiting planet Earth.
Yeah, but you know what? There are ways, you know, one of the things I'm excited about, though, is this, that there are ways for people to not continue to take this nonsense. The 5G movement, there is something called the no liability contract. And so people, and if you can get the people on who are talking about the no liability contract, you need to talk to them.
I'll check
this
it out.
This is very important. And this is the last thing I guess I'll say. What the world is working on, we have, our constitution is based on common law, but the world is working on something called the UCC, the Universal Commercial Code, right. And it's contract law.
Right.
And so, for example, when people take a drug or a vaccine or they put a meter on your house, it's a contract. But when you do contract law, a contract is void if it's fraud. That is, if they're not telling you the truth about something. So, for example, in the vaccine packages, they will tell you very clearly that the vaccines can cause a variety of diseases, including autism, even though the doctors are telling you don't worry about it, the media is telling you don't worry about it, the CDC, the FDA is telling you don't worry about it. They put that stuff in the package insert because that's a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the no liability movement is doing, and they're saying, okay, if that, because the contract has certain elements, and part of that element is that has to be a meeting of the minds. And so you can counter that contract offer. And so what they do is say, you know, for the 5G meters, they're saying, okay, if you put this 5G meter on my house, I am going to charge you, you know, say $1 million every day.
Really?
Yeah. And that's a counter offer. And you can begin to send that counter offer, say, to the CEO of the electric company and the politicians who made the law. They've been doing this in Canada, and people have been retiring from their jobs. And so you can do the same thing with vaccines. You can do the same thing with all of these things. But people don't know. You don't know, and a lot of lawyers don't know this law. So, but you can make counter offers. And so one of the things that I'm going to talk about in Chicago is the fact that, you know, we don't just have to sit, you know, bend over and take these things, that there are methods in place that actually will work.
Mm-hmm.